ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, Text 43, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Śrīla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupāda. Tvaṁ nastapah paramamāta yadātma tejo. Yene damādi purushātma gataṁ sasarkta. Tadvipraluptamamundadhya sharanyapala. Raksha grihita vapusha punar anva mangsthaha. Sri Rishaya Uchuhu. Tvaṁ nastapah paramamāta yadātma tejo. Yene damādi purushātma gataṁ sasarkta. Tad vipraluptam amunādhya sharanyapāla. Raksha grihita vapusha punaranva mangsthaha. All the saintly persons present offered their prayers in this way. O Lord, O Supreme Maintainer of those sheltered at your lotus feet, O Original Personality of Godhead, the process of austerity and penance in which you instructed us before is the spiritual power of your very self. It is austerity, it is by austerity that you create the material world which lies dormant within you. This austerity was almost stopped by the activities of this demon, but now, by yourself appearing in the form of Nrsimhadev, which is meant just to give us protection, and by killing this demon, you have again approved the process of austerity. Purport. The living entities wandering within the jurisdiction of the 8,400,000 species of life get the opportunity for self-realization in the human form and gradually in such other elevated forms as those of the demigods, kinnaras and charanas, as will be described below. In the higher statuses of life, beginning from human life, the main duty is tapasya, or austerity. As Rishabhadev advised his sons, tapo divyang putraka yena sattvang shudhyet, to rectify our material existence, austerity, tapasya, is absolutely necessary. However, when people in general come under the control of a demon or a demoniac ruling power, they forget this process of tapasya and gradually also become demoniac. All the saintly persons who are generally engaged in austerity felt relieved when Hiranyakashipu was killed by the Lord in the form of Nrsimhadev. They realized that the original instruction concerning human life, that it is meant for tapasya, for self-realization, was reaffirmed by the Lord when he killed Hiranyakashipu. Recently I read a poem by Satsarup Maharaj about Prabhupada and Vrindavan, and I thought that, well, soon, by the mercy of Radharani, hopefully, I'll be in Vrindavan, which has now come to pass. So I thought I'd like to speak on this subject. So I took, did it come to you? Yeah. So I took permission and I was told to read the Bhagavatam verse and purport and then get on with it. So I'll get on with it. These two topics are relishable. Generally, devotees, if they hear that they're going to be talking about Srila Prabhupada or Vrindavan, they like to hear that. So the two combined should be very good. Just like if you have good ingredients, ghee, sugar, and cream, and all these things. Even if you're a mediocre cook, should be able to cook up something quite good. And if it's a good cook, should be a good feast. So, the topics of Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan should be a good feast for the ears and the heart. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshtitanayat Tadhama Vrindavanam. Srila Prabhupada translated this first line of the verse, which summarizes the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is worshipable, and just as Krishna is worshipable, so his land of Vrindavan is worshipable. And certainly, Srila Prabhupada is also worshipable. Srila Prabhupada came to the West from Vrindavan. He came from Vrindavan to the material world. He's an eternal resident of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada said, Vrindavan is my home. So that's true eternally. Srila Prabhupada is a resident of Golok Vrindavan. He's Nitya Siddha Mahabhagavato Mahan here in the Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj is described as great even among great devotees, and that description most certainly must pertain to Srila Prabhupada. And to think of him in any other way means we don't understand anything at all about him. He's just as Krishna is perfect, Srila Prabhupada is perfect in all respects. And just as many people will criticize Krishna and find faults in him and go to hell, so there may be many people who may think that Srila Prabhupada is less than perfect, but that is their misunderstanding. So Srila Prabhupada is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. This is a term that he used to describe the great pure devotees who are on the same level as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, inasmuch as they're fully fixed on the transcendental plane of service to him. So Srila Prabhupada, he eternally lives in Vrindavan, and quite often in his lectures, he will just summarize the whole situation of Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, there's Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and the gopis and the cows and the cowherd boys and the Yamuna, and everything is very pleasant in all respects. In an early letter, he wrote to Kirtanananda. He said, I will take you to visit that Vrindavan. I will take you and show you all the holy places. It's very nice place. He said, it's not like here where there's always the whoosh whoosh of automobiles. Of course, now there is the whoosh whoosh of automobiles in Vrindavan also. And I personally, when I like to think of Vrindavan in this world, I like to put my clock back to the 1970s, where it was when this temple was in the fields, right? The Bon Maharaj Ashram was field, and all around it was fields. And it was not in Vrindavan. It was out at the town of Vrindavan, was some distance. So Srila Prabhupada liked to describe how nice is that Vrindavan. And when we say Srila Prabhupada is a resident of Vrindavan, that means that his consciousness is quite different to that of the material world. It's a completely different consciousness. There are people, there are sons, and just like Krishna is the son of Nanda and Yashoda, there are sons and parents and cows and rivers in various places of this material world, but it's a completely different consciousness. Srila Prabhupada called that Krishna consciousness. Everyone in Vrindavan is always absorbed in thought of Krishna, with the idea of serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna. And in this material world, everyone is self-centered, thinking of themselves and how to please myself. So that is the land of selfless service to the proper object of service, who is Krishna. And this is the land where everyone wants to put themselves in the center. So it becomes the land of exploitation, the cheaters and the cheated, the exploiters and the exploited. So Srila Prabhupada, even though to mortal vision he appeared to be an ordinary person, just, you know, so many people born in a big city like born in a big city like Calcutta, I mean, there's so many people born. Even at that time, it was a big city. But Srila Prabhupada was categorically different. Well, Jiva, yes, the same as us in that way, but he didn't come to this world being impelled by karmic reactions. He came on the order of Krishna to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that his name would be chanted in every town and village in this world. From the very beginning of his life, he was soaked in Vrindavan consciousness. His father would worship the deities of Radha and Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada would regularly visit the temple of Radha Govinda. So even though he was born in Calcutta, which is a materialistic city, and even it's named after Kali, who's the personification of the, not, of course, there's Durga, who's the personification of the material energy, but Kali is the personification of the extreme, angry, and the grossest manifestation of the material energy. And Bengalis and others like to worship her. So Srila Prabhupada, it was significant that he was born in the heart of Calcutta, which is named after and dedicated to the goddess of who oversees forgetting Krishna in the grossest kind of way. Srila Prabhupada appeared there, but he appeared in Vrindavan consciousness. His father was a pure devotee and worshipped Krishna. And from the beginning of his life, as he later said, that there was never a time in my life that I forgot Krishna. It's not possible. Just like we find the gopis, they sometimes come together. Srila Prabhupada revealed in his Krishna book, he gave us Vrindavan in Krishna book, that the gopis, sometimes they come together and say, this Krishna is just too much trouble, too much headache. They made a resolution, okay, now we're going to forget about Krishna. We had enough Krishna. But then they immediately found out that they weren't able to do so. It's just not possible for them not to think of Krishna. What a difference between me and we're trying to remember Krishna. And they can't forget Krishna even if they want to. They don't really want to, but anyway, it's all Leela. So Srila Prabhupada, there was never a time when he forgot Krishna. So we can understand that even within the womb, even as a small child playing like a baby, he's always thinking of Krishna. Although to worldly vision, he may have in many ways appeared like an ordinary child. And at that time, In India, it wasn't such an unusual thing for a child of a religious father to be religious and inclined to go to temples and sing in kirtan and so many things. So he may appear to be just like another child in so many ways. And he was also. He had his father buy him a toy gun, play gun. What do you call it? A toy gun. And then when he got one, he wasn't satisfied. He wanted another. Two hands, two guns. I guess he was training up for preaching. he certainly preached very strongly. So he was from Calcutta, and as he related that, we used to see the prostitutes, even as a child, and sometimes there were Hindu-Muslim riots, and Srila Prabhupada ran home one time to be away from, he was about to get killed. But we can understand at every moment he was thinking of Krishna. And at a very early age, he organized the Rath Yatra. That's very famous. Is how many five-year-old children, for their play, what's their play? They want to organize a Rath Yatra. So he actually did it at the age of five. And of course, later on, he arranged it all over the world. And now it's come to Vrindavan also. From the very early time of his life, from as a boy, he used to think about going to Puri and Vrindavan. He used to see the train timetables and think how I can get money, how I can go to Vrindavan. He didn't actually visit Vrindavan until 1925, when he was on a business trip to Agra. And he just came here for one or two days briefly, and we don't know much about that, but he just took the opportunity. But he was busy in business. He was out getting orders for his business or fulfilling orders and this and that. But he took the time out to come to Vrindavan. The next time he came was in 1932. He came deliberately to join the Brajamandal Parikrama organized by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his guru. And he just came to the edge of Vrindavan because they were doing the parikrama, so they were going around. So he was came to Kosi at that time. And then he heard from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, which that was the perfection for a disciple, is to hear. Just like now we're reading the seventh canto here, and the first time I came to Vrindavan was in 1976, and it was the same section of Bhagavatam Srila Prabhupada was speaking on at that time during the festival, and all the devotees, it wasn't published yet, because that's what Prabhupada would do. He would generally speak on a section of the Bhagavatam which he was translating, so it was all very new. The devotees didn't even know the story, and we just, as the stories came out, we'd learn them, those of us from the West. All devotees said that Srila Prabhupada is very much in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, this mood of wanting to save the conditioned souls. Oh, another point I should have said, yeah. One of Prabhupada's sons, he gave the name Vrindavan. And there was Mathura Mohan, so Vrindavan. He could have chosen, how many names are there? Unlimited names. But he chose that name to give his son. So that's significant. So, Srila Prabhupada, he was a resident of Vrindavan. It was here in Vrajamandal at Radha Kund that he heard from his guru a personal instruction, just a few words from the mouth of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur changed the whole religious history of the world. It added a new dimension to the Gauriya Vaishnav Sampradaya. If you ever get money, print books. He didn't say, if you get money, build temples. Of course, Srila Prabhupada did that also. But that was the first priority, books. Srila Prabhupada called Bhakti Sri. It's also Sankirtana, because it's meant for glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this was an instruction that Srila Prabhupada got in the month of Kartik from his pure devotee, topmost Paramahamsa Guru. If you ever get money, print books. It seems he didn't have that much. He didn't have money at the time. Not. If he had had money, he would have said, "You have money, print books." But he said, "If you get money, print books." So that's those few words have influenced the lives of all of us. Most of us came by. Generally, whenever we ask people how they came, if they first came by reading a book, mostly that's how it is, in the Western countries especially. And after reading the book and being accepted into Srila Prabhupada's family, then what's the first thing you do? Go out and distribute the books. So that's an instruction which was given here in Vrindavan. And of course, the books that Srila Prabhupada gave, and actually everything he did, was to serve Vrindavan and to bring everyone to Vrindavan. Everything that Srila Prabhupada did, he's going to the west. He left Vrindavan. Who would leave Vrindavan? Having aspired all his life to serve the dust of Vrindavan, in the end of his middle age, the dawn of his old age, he came to Vrindavan, but he didn't stay. He was always up and down to Delhi, and then he left. Why would he leave? To better serve Vrindavan by preaching the glories of Vrindavan, by bringing more people to Vrindavan. Krishna is very greedy in that sense. He has unlimited capacity to love and to give shelter. In the verse we read, Sharanyapala, he's the protector of those who want to take shelter. So Srila Prabhupada went to the west. He suffered heart attacks on the way. We say suffered. He's a pure devotee beyond the suffering of this material world, but still, we can't minimize that so much difficulty he went through to establish this movement. And at every step there was so much struggle, and it continues. The Krishna consciousness movement is running on. We're all very happily gathered here in Kartik, in Vrindavan. But if you scratch below the surface, you'll find there are so many issues and controversies and managerial this and that. And it's always been like that, and it probably always will be, because after all, we are trying to practice Krishna consciousness within this material world in Kali Yuga, and there's always going to be. Sometimes I hear someone says, "Oh, this temple is very well managed." Say, "Oh, you don't know what's going on underneath." You don't need to, actually. Every temple that's well managed, there are all kinds of things going on underneath, which not everyone needs to know about. It'll always be like that, because that's the way the material world is made, and Krishna gives various challenges to those who will take the challenge to go on serving Krishna in a way that everyone else can chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And in the meantime, just so we can be happy, there's so many difficulties. Those who are actually managing and getting organized, so it's like that. And Srila Prabhupada, we don't hear so much about that, but practically all the time there are all kinds of leading devotees falling down, sometimes betraying him, and how much struggle in Bombay he had to go through, and trying to convince his disciples to go on with. He was struggling and pushing his own disciples to struggle. Srila Prabhupada had such a mission here in India. It's very difficult to get anyone to stay in India at all, because it was such a struggle. But Srila Prabhupada, he He was so determined to give Vrindavan that he went through all of that. Everything he did. Sometimes he would blast Mayavadis and chastise his disciples. And so it was all to bring people to the Vrindavan consciousness by which you can actually enter Vrindavan. Bishaya charya kobe shuddha hobe man tobe hamaharibo Sri Vrindavan. Coming to Vrindavan means there has to be purification of consciousness. Otherwise, one may apparently be in Vrindavan, but not really in the... We see Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada, we see Vrindavan when we come here, and we see these are the different holy places, these are the temples, and we also see... Well, you don't see them so much nowadays. What happened to the pigs? They're still around. We still smell. So many things have changed in Vrindavan, but the smell of the open sewerage, that hasn't changed. And there are various people willing to cheat you, either your money or your life, by misleading you in the name of Krishna consciousness. So we may see all these things, and even Srila Prabhupada said that respectable people at that time, they didn't like to come to Vrindavan because just a bunch of old useless people who got thrown out of their homes and they're wandering around, land of beggars. Everything was all broken down. So we can see externally Vrindavan, but those who have the eyes to see, they can see that Krishna's pastimes are going on at every moment. When we come to Vrindavan, we see Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada always saw Vrindavan at every moment because there's no tinge of desire for sense gratification. That's the condition for actually entering in Vrindavan. And therefore, Vrindavan is a place of bhajan. For those who are pure devotees, they worship Krishna by chanting the holy names, by following the regulated principles. And for those who are aspiring to see Krishna, I have to chant, serve in various ways. So the aspiration of all devotees coming into Vrindavan is to see Vrindavan and see Krishna, and we'll never do. Because, again, Srila Prabhupada often used to say that, he used to quote that, Hey Radhe Raja Devi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suna Kutaha, where are you, Krishna? Where are you, Radha, Lalita, Visha? You'll never, never find. Now what kind of religion is this? You're aspiring for something and you never get it. You'll never be successful, never achieve perfection. Well, the perfection is to call out like the six Goswamis, where are you? And by that strong feeling of separation from Krishna, Krishna is captured within the heart. So it seems as if there's separation. It's inconceivable. So this place of Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada very kindly gave this temple. He built this originally, he said, for his foreign disciples to come and take inspiration. Srila Prabhupada said that Vrindavan is an inspiration, but our actual work is all over the world. So it's a place to come, Mayapur and Vrindavan, once a year to get purified, inspired, and go out again into the big bad world where no one knows anything about Vrindavan. I remember reading the first time I read Srila Prabhupada's books. It was Krishna book volume 2 and it opened up. Vrindavan is such a nice place. I thought this is such a strange book that immediately mentions Vrindavan. It doesn't say what it is or just immediately. So Krishna book. You get Krishna and Vrindavan. Of course, I didn't read the introduction. I should have read the introduction. So Srila Prabhupada, everything he did was to bring... Of course, we can say Krishna, Radha Krishna, Vrindavan, they're all non-different. Especially Srila Prabhupada, as a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to give Krishna in Vrindavan. So, for that purpose, he came to this world. Eventually, he retired from family life and came to live in Vrindavan, writing. That was his... He was doing service. There are various ways one can serve Vrindavan by sweeping, making a little garden, growing flowers to offer to Krishna, serving water, especially in the hot season, to all the visitors. There are so many ways one can serve Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada was writing for his Back to Godhead magazine. And his Back to Godhead magazine, it wasn't directly, it mostly wasn't directly about Vrindavan. He mostly wrote about something about the material world. He'd take some little quote from a newspaper or something like that, and then he'd comment on that and bring the light of Shastra upon that. In 1958, he wrote a poem here, Vrindavane Bhajan. So you might think he'll be describing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but rather he describes the nature of the material world, how he's become detached from that, the need to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So he was living here in Vrindavan, but very much absorbed in the very strong mood of bringing Krishna consciousness, preaching, and especially you'll find in his early writings, it's very much in the, and throughout all his writings, it's very much in the mood of distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all. This stance runs through all of Srila Prabhupada's books. What is reality? This is not reality. This material world, this is not reality. We don't belong here. Everything here in this material world is contradictory. It's against our self-interest to take any, to have any desire to enjoy this material world. So like this, Srila Prabhupada is writing very much in the mood of his own Guru Maharaj in 1959, he took sannyas. In 1962, he started to write his magnum opus, his Srimad Bhagavatam commentary, starting in the first canto. He didn't go to the 10th canto. It was a great, very ambitious at that time to do elaborate commentaries on every verse, 18,000 verses. That was a huge undertaking. But that he was doing, if he'd just sat there, that might have been more possible. But he was also wanting to go to the West and actively preach. So there are two major tasks he took upon himself. Writing an elaborate commentary, not just notes, but an elaborate commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. In English, an elaborate commentary in English to try to convey the truth that is Srimad Bhagavatam, to the people of the world. It was extraordinarily ambitious to want to do that. It would have been possible to translate the commentaries of the Acharyas. But Srila Prabhupada, of course, did that, but he gave more. He was deliberately written for the people of the world who didn't have any contact with Krishna or Vrindavan or any such thing, to give that message to them, which was unprecedented that anyone could even think of such a thing. Srila Prabhupada did this while living at the temple of Radha Damoda, the hub of the spiritual world, as he described it. the place where the six Goswamis and others would gather to discuss on the topics of Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada being immersed in that consciousness, taking the blessings of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and others. He was just like we breathe in and we breathe out. So Srila Prabhupada is breathing in the mercy of the acharyas and the mercy of Vrindavan, and then writing his books, all inspired by Krishna himself, by the acharyas, just as Srila Prabhupada said, this is my home, this is the home of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Eventually, he got on the boat and he was going to the west, and in his diary, he wrote, in his diary, make little notes. And one day he wrote, today the ship is plying very smoothly, I feel today better. But I'm feeling separation from Vrindavan. He didn't say Krishna first, he said Sri Vrindavan. And my Lord, Sri Govinda Gopinath Radha Damoda. My only solace is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which I'm tasting the nectarine of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. I have left Bharata Bhumi just to execute the order of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's order. I have no qualification, but have taken up the risk just to carry out the order of His Divine Grace. I depend fully on their mercy, so far away from Vrindavan. So he's on the ship, and every moment it was going further, further, further away from Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada, he felt that separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham. Later on, in America, before his movement took off, before he had any committed followers, he would give talks and record his talks. And in one of them, he was talking about duty, the concept of duty, how you have to follow the order of the superior as a duty. And Srila Prabhupada gave himself as an example. You can still hear that recording. Srila Prabhupada said, just like at Vrindavan, that is practical. Here I am now sitting in New York, the world's greatest city, such a magnificent city. But my heart is always hankering after that Vrindavan. And there's one woman there, she says, yes. Prabhupada said, yes, I am not happy here. The woman, yes, I know, commiserated. And Srila Prabhupada said, I shall be very happy to return to my Vrindavan, that sacred place. But then, why are you here? Prabhupada openly saying, I'm not happy here. I'll be very happy to return to Vrindavan. Then why don't you go? Srila Prabhupada explained, now because it is my duty. Srila Prabhupada is explaining the concept of duty. I have brought some message for your people, for you people, because I have been ordered by my superior, my spiritual master. Whatever you have learned, you should go to the Western countries and you must distribute this knowledge. So in spite of all my difficulties, all my inconveniences, I am here because I am obligated by duty. Duty. Srila Prabhupada used to pronounce it duty. You've heard that. He got that from his Scottish teachers. If I go and sit down in Vrindavan, that will be good for my personal conveniences. I shall be very comfortable there and I will have no anxiety, nothing of the sort. But I have taken all the risk in this old age because I'm duty bound. I'm duty bound. So I have to execute my duty despite all my inconveniences. Okay, there's a lot more to say. I don't have time to say it, so hopefully next time I speak, I'll continue this. I shall go on? How much time? Some more time. Okay. It is my duty. So, Srila Prabhupada was in America. He had, you could say, gathered some disciples. There were some followers. At least they had, I'm not sure if the beginning followers had really much idea of what it meant to follow. He only told them what it meant to be a disciple after he initiated the first batch. And you can read that it is, oh, no eggs? Oh, I didn't know about that, for instance. So in 1967, he became very ill and he desired to return to Vrindavan to either recuperate and come back or to pass away. So, at that time, he wrote from America to Sumati Murarji, who was the sponsor for his travel to America in the first place. He wrote to her, "I am feeling too much to return to Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Vrindavan Bihari Lord Krishna, and therefore I have decided to return to India immediately." So Srila Prabhupada was always it wasn't that he left Vrindavan and gradually he forgot it, but rather he always wanted, his own personal desire was always to live here, and of course in a manner which is not empirically correct. He was always living in Vrindavan. But he desired also to come to this land. So he came here to recover. Panchagaur Prabhu, you can just give me a signal when it's time up. Okay. So naturally, Srila Prabhupada's disciples were very anxious. I mean, he's going, and we don't know if he's ever going to come back. So even though they're very new in spiritual life, he was giving them a little touch of the feelings of the inhabitants of Vrindavan when Krishna left. And he's gone. We don't know. He said he'd come, but we don't know. He's not here now, and there's no. We don't see him coming. So they were in great anxiety. Srila Prabhupada described, "Yad gatva anivartante tad dhamma paramam mama." One who goes there never comes back. Who maybe his health won't recover, or he may not want to come, or whatever. They're in so much anxiety. Yeah. He told them, when you go to Vrindavan, you'll go to see that place and you'll wonder why I ever could have come here. Once you go, you'll think, why should anyone ever leave this place? Of course, it's not that even devotees, not that everyone that comes here feels like that. Some become anxious to go back due to various bodily and cultural difficulties and the heat and this and that. But Srila Prabhupada, his mood is that everything there is so nice. Everyone's a devotee, everyone's chanting, there are so many temples. In 1970, he came with 40 disciples from the West. And this was actually Srila Prabhupada's plan. On his guru's order, he went to preach in the West, but he himself was very anxious to preach in India. So he thought, if I go to the West and bring some devotees from the West, because Indian people are so much desirous to follow the West, you see, the Western people, if they chant Hare Krishna, then the Indian people also think, oh, then we should chant Hare Krishna also. So he came, and it was sensational. No one had ever thought or imagined that Western people could take to Krishna consciousness seriously. It was just unimaginable. And even many who saw it directly, they didn't believe it. They used to say, you cannot be a Hindu, maybe in your next life. You cannot be a Brahmin, you cannot be a sannyasi. They would get very angry, some people. Why you shouldn't wear this dress? You're not allowed. So Srila Prabhupada, he defended his disciples, even though due to cultural inaffinity or whatever, some of them did some things which were not considered proper for sadhus. But Srila Prabhupada, see, they're chanting Hare Krishna. That is the main thing. Don't see their bad habits. So it was a sensation. And some people were critical. Many people were astonished and appreciative. Others were not sure. But it made a tremendous effect. Even now, the people with white skins are chanting Hare Krishna. It's still a big thing. Just a few days ago, we had a group of Russian devotees going out in the streets in Surat, where Srila Prabhupada was best received. And it came in the newspaper. It's still something that they looked to. So Srila Prabhupada, he had this vision. He very much wanted to bring Krishna consciousness, to bring Vrindavan to the world, and Krishna within his heart gave him, this is the plan. He brings some Western devotees. When he brought them, okay, dancing white elephants, but you got to do more than dance. You have to build this temple. Yeah? Srila Prabhupada brought them around the holy place, but he was thinking, what is the use of your being Americans unless you do something wonderful? Not enough to be an American and dance and sing. That's good. That's a good. You have to do something wonderful. Otherwise, why be American? So, Srila Prabhupada, he got land in Vrindavan. He got land in Mayapur, he got land in Bombay, and in every place it was a struggle to build the temples. And in every place he couldn't stay there all the time, so he put disciples, and how he had to force them to surrender, to stay, to build the temple. His followers, they didn't know the language, they didn't know the culture, they didn't even know very basic things like putting a mosquito net at night so you can sleep and you don't get malaria. Nothing. It was very difficult for them dealing with Indian people, and cheating was rife in all respects. But Srila Prabhupada, even the devotees, they couldn't see. Why do you want to build a temple? It's already outside of Vrindavan. And in Mayapur, why do you want to build it? It's just empty fields. Why does Prabhupada want to build a temple here in Juhu? That was also, it was a little village outside Bombay. And why build the town? Even the life members, they said, we'll get you an area, the best part of town, downtown. So no, that's the land. So he had the vision. In Bhuvaneshwar also, the land that was got, Prabhupada said, this is the best place. What the best place? The city's way, way away. Now that is the heart of the actual city, main city moved there. Srila Prabhupada saw past, present, and future. He knew what he was doing by Krishna's grace. Then even this land was given, and then the donor had second thoughts, and then it became either Prabhupada or some sadhvi, some lady sadhu also wanted the land. So then two pieces of paper were put at the lotus feet of Radha. Either you get it, Shiradakshai Vishnu was sent from London, India. So you choose the paper. If you get the right one, you get the land. If you don't, you don't. So Radharani inspired him to take the right piece of land. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada... Oh, one thing, this very famous in Prabhupada's pastimes. He came in 1972 with a group of Western devotees. First came in 1970, then again 1972, to speak on the nectar of devotion at Radha Damodar in English for his disciples, even though most of the people didn't understand English. But he spoke there in Vrindavan about the steps toward bhakti, how we can go to Vrindavan. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, mostly describes pastimes of Vrindavan, but before that there are the steps by which we can enter Vrindavan. Sadhana Bhakti, you have to be prepared. That is the Gauriya Vaishnavas, they're all followers of Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada, who came, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam. The Gauriya Vaishnavas, they pray that when will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has revealed the inner heart's wishes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when will he give me his lotus feet? So the desire, the inner heart's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, as Srila Prabhupada revealed to us. So Srila Prabhupada, as the representative, the empowered representative of Rupa Goswami, spoke at Radha Damoda, the place of bhajan and the place of samadhi of Rupa Goswami. He brought these followers to offer to Rupa Goswami and to give them the knowledge by which they could become strong and in Krishna consciousness and go and bring more and more and more people. And that's going on, more and more and more he's bringing. So Vrindavan also, Srila Prabhupada established this as a place of speaking the message of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Shastra. This is very much part of the tradition of Vrindavan that's flourished, as the whole bhakti culture has flourished thanks to Srila Prabhupada. There's so, at any time of the year you'll find there's so many kathas going on, people are speaking. We, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, best we hear from Srila Prabhupada, who knew how to teach us step by step how to enter Vrindavan, how to appreciate Vrindavan, how to live in Vrindavan as servants of the Goswamis. That's another major point, that Srila Prabhupada, he brought devotees from the West, and he very much wanted, of course, Indian people to take up Krishna consciousness also. But he made them into sadhus, but he didn't want them to be exactly like, generally when you think of an Indian sadhu, you think of someone, they live in an ashram, or they wander here and there, and they don't really have much to do with this world. They're just doing their bhajan. But Prabhupada, he wanted devotees to be like him, to work hard for Krishna. If we want to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, it's not just by sitting on a seat like this. For me, it's easy. I just come and sit on a seat. But there's so much endeavor for organization, for spreading, for printing books, for managing. If we want a peaceful life, Don't join ISKCON. Is it? What do you think? Prabhupada, he didn't. He was living a peaceful life in Vrindavan. He went out. Krishna bhakta nishkama taiv shanta. There may be inner peace. But if we have to preach all over the world, it's not going to be peaceful. If we're actually going to spread Krishna, if we're looking for peace, this isn't the movement to join. If we're looking for service, this is the movement to join. Although everything's ultimately meant for relishing the pastimes of Krishna, but as Srila Prabhupada famously said, work now, samadhi later. He also wanted to establish varnashram communities where people could live peacefully and chant Hare Krishna. But even to establish them, it's not so easy. In Los Angeles, which year was that? Gopi Bhava Club? 74, 75? Can't remember. All right, okay. I thought you might know because you're connected with that part of the world. 75. So it came to Srila Prabhupada's attention that the Chaitanya Charitamrita had just been released and devotees were reading that. And they're becoming, oh, it's so nice. We're concentrating on the pastimes of Radha Krishna. Prabhupada was informed. You might have thought he would have said, oh, that's wonderful. How good. This is, thank you very much. He didn't say that at all. He was dead against it. That you only concentrate on the pastimes of Radha Krishna. Prabhupada said, what was his concern? This will spoil the preaching. Artificially trying to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That is what Prabhupada came to give. Ultimately, that's what we have to go to. But he himself was fully on that platform, but he wanted that devotees should be active in preaching. He told at least one devotee, Burijan Prabhu told us, you preach and you work hard, at the age of 50 you can come and retire and live in Vrindavan. But of course, Srila Prabhupada's idea of retirement and living in Vrindavan is that you be active also here. So many people are coming. You have to preach. You have to teach. So that was very, very much Srila Prabhupada's mood. Give everything for full Krishna consciousness is there in Prabhupada's books, in Prabhupada's teachings, but work now, samadhi later. And those who work now, they'll find it samadhi now also. That if we, Prabhupada also warned that here in Vrindavan, if we think we can just sit and chant all day, we'll think of women and money and fall down. That's what will actually happen in the name of so-called bhajan. So we require to work hard for Krishna. And eventually, of course, I'll just skip through a bunch of stuff here. Srila Prabhupada, he came back to Vrindavan, had this temple built. He wanted it built immediately. Do it immediately. He thought it would be built in 1 year. Why not? There's so many obstacles. It's practically a miracle that it was opened in 1970. He wanted it opened in 1973, started in 1972. But even to get it done in 2 years, especially considering there's so many obstacles. Actually, India in many ways was much more difficult in those days than it is now. One thing being that if you want to build a temple like this, you need lots of cement, but cement wasn't available in the marketplace. You couldn't just go and buy it. It was rationed by the government, and the government was going on the Nehru idea that India doesn't need. India's got enough temples. The temples of modern India will be the factories. So they didn't want to sanction getting cement. Really, you can't build without cement. They weren't giving it. Then the governor of UP came here, who was a Muslim. Prabhupada was extremely sick, had very high fever. He said, I'm sick like this because my leading disciples are not following the regulations. So all over the world, devotees started doing kirtan for Srila Prabhupada. The governor came, Prabhupada came out, he couldn't walk, he had to be carried. And he gave a speech and he requested the governor, you release the cement. He came out even though practically it was almost that he could have died, but he was so much concerned to get that cement. That was just one in many, many factors. Srila Prabhupada said here in Vrindavan, there are 5,000 caste Goswamis, 5,000 Babajis, and 5,000 shopkeepers. And we have to keep good relations with them all. Otherwise we'll be in court like the Gauri Amat. So it was like that. It's just like a juggling act, how to deal with so many people. By Srila Prabhupada's tremendous if there'd been any less determination than Prabhupada had, and that he was able to instill in at least some of his disciples, this temple would never be. ISKCON would never be. His complete determination that he may be sick, there may be so many obstacles. This was Srila Prabhupada's service, really embodying the Ashlishyava mood, that you have to serve Krishna despite all difficulties. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada showed us what it means to serve Vrindavan, not looking for comfort, rather, even in a comfortable situation, going away, leaving Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada established the worship of Krishna Balaram here, something unique. Brijendra Nandan Jay Shachishuta Hoilo She Balarama Hoilo Nitai, to demonstrate to the world that Krishna and Balaram Gaur Nitai, they are non-different. To demonstrate to the world doesn't even know who Gaura or Nitai or Krishna or Balaram are, but by mass distribution he wanted people to know and to understand this principle, that Gaur Nitai are Krishna, Balaram. So Srila Prabhupada said that devotees should come here and take strength from Balaram. It requires tremendous strength even to practice Krishna consciousness, even to follow the four regulated principles, what to speak of, go out into the world and follow Srila Prabhupada's footsteps. So many obstacles, so we should take strength from beautiful Balaram. Balaram, he particularly shows the opulence of beauty, and he's very strong. We don't usually think of beauty and strength together. Beautiful Balaram is with Krishna, and we can come here and pray for strength to go on in our Krishna consciousness, despite all obstacles. And as we are all experiencing, this material, it's just getting, the world is getting worse and worse and worse. And even if you try to live a good life, so many difficulties will be there. So we have to take shelter of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, who have been established here by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And what beautiful worship it is. The devotees all over the world can come and take inspiration from the deity worship here also. How beautifully it's going on day after day. 24-hour kirtan Srila Prabhupada established. They're sitting there waiting to get going again. I'll finish here. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the holy Dham of Sri Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay.